The fight for airline passenger rights gets a new ally. Analysts say Boeing really needs the Dreamliner to work. And an advance in avian radar will be demonstrated later this month. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 10th, 2009. FlyersRights.org has changed some very influential minds and gained a new ally in its push for a federally legislated airline passengers' bill of rights. The Business Travel Coalition Monday released survey results and analysis that show a sea change in the thinking on the issue among participants in the business travel industry. Specifically, 82% of travel industry professionals and business travelers now support language championed by Senators Barbara Boxer, a California Democrat, and Olympia Snow, a Maine Republican, that includes an option for passengers to disembark after 3 hours of onboard delay for domestic U.S. flights should a captain decide it is reasonable and safe to do so. BTC Chairman Kevin Mitchell notes, quote, BTC testified 4 times since 1999 in opposition to congressional intervention and opposed the New York State Passenger Bill of Rights. However, airlines can no longer have it both ways. Consumers continue to be harmed and are without protections at the state level. As such, the only remaining remedy is a single passengers' rights standard emplaced by a Congress that needs to do for passengers what the airlines have refused to do, unquote. Industry watchers have been saying lately that Boeing's future depends in large measure on getting the 787 Dreamliner project back on track, and the office on which that responsibility falls has a new occupant as of the end of last month. Jim Albaugh is the new CEO of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, and analysts say the Dreamliner will be his biggest challenge. Philip Finnegan of the Thiel Group told the Puget Sound Business Journal, quote, "The problem is there have been so many surprises, so many disappointments, that Boeing still has an uphill battle in terms of reestablishing credibility on the 787, unquote. Marco Caceres, a space industry analyst with Thiel, is much more direct, noting Boeing's increasing reliance on defense work. He observes about the airliner side, quote, "I don't know if they are hungry enough to compete in the marketplace," unquote. The jury is still out on Albaugh's appointment to replace Scott Carson as CEO. Reagan McKenzie analyst Peter Jacobs tells the Journal he doesn't expect much to change. Quote, "There's going to be a detailed analysis. Jim Albaugh will have the same set of inputs that Scott Carson would have used," unquote. Boeing insists that the Dreamliner, which is now over 2 years behind schedule, will make its first flight before the end of this year. Aciptor Radar will introduce its latest avian radar technology at the 2009 Bird Strike North America conference being held in Victoria, B.C. this month. The company says its multi-beam technology provides 360-degree 3D capabilities with accuracy that will greatly improve the potential to provide safety benefits in civil airport environments. Aciptor is conducting a test program at SeaTac, Chicago O'Hare, and JFK. There's considerable buzz about these radar systems. They're adapted from marine radar technology, and there's a lot of money being thrown at them right now. They have the potential to allow more precision in depicting the positions of flocks of birds. What there's less talk about is what an A320 climbing out at over 200 knots can really do once the crew learns of Canada geese at 12 o'clock. We'll have more on this in upcoming editions of the Aero News Special Feature. Up next on ANN, Ryanair may make another run at Aer Lingus. The U.S. Congress risks jousting with Europe over visas. And Frost and Sullivan makes the case for biofuel. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 10th. I'm Paul Plack. Michael O'Leary, the CEO of Irish budget airline Ryanair, seems to be relishing the playout of capitalist enterprise versus government flag carrier. Despite failing twice so far in hostile takeover attempts, O'Leary says he remains convinced he'll one day acquire Aer Lingus. Air and Business Travel News reports that Aer Lingus has instituted another round of cost-saving measures, which lowered its share price to about a half pound sterling. The carrier has used up considerable cash reserves, staving off the hostile takeover attempts with the support of unions, shareholders, and the Irish government. Ryanair, meanwhile, already owns a 29% share. With Aer Lingus stock in the tank, O'Leary thinks it might be time for another takeover try, and says this time resistance might be light. New Aer Lingus CEO Christian Mueller says he's looking for further cost savings, including from employees. Analysts say he needs to cut costs by 10% to remain viable. By this time next year, travelers from the U.S. could find themselves caught in a confrontation over visa fees. As a debt-strapped U.S. federal government looks for every possible way to hold us all by the ankles and shake, Congressman William Delahunt of Massachusetts has proposed charging some foreign visitors a $10 fee upon arrival. The European Union is threatening to retaliate if that happens. The proposal would use the revenue to fund promotion of U.S. tourism. John Bruton, the European Commission's ambassador to Washington, commented on Friday, quote, "Only in Alice in Wonderland could a penalty be seen as promoting the activity on which it is imposed," unquote. The Associated Press reports an online registration system, in lieu of a visa for some visitors, would collect the $10 fee. Bruton says EU countries would then have to determine if the fee represented a de facto visa and would then require visas for Americans visiting those countries. Frost & Sullivan, a huge consulting firm that claims more than 1,800 analysts following over a quarter million companies, has released a report which points to the value of biofuels as a short-term step to reducing greenhouse gas emissions from commercial aircraft. Such emissions are coming under increasing political pressure worldwide. The company's report finds that commercial aviation consumes an average of 3 million barrels of jet fuel each day, or about 3.4% of the world's total energy use, and is responsible for 2% of the overall man-made global CO2 emissions. That compares to all other forms of transport that contribute 16% of man-made CO2. The report predicts commercial aviation's contribution to CO2 is likely to reach 3% by 2050. Due to the realities of hardware life cycles, Frost & Sullivan Asia-Pacific consultant of aerospace and defense practice Amartya Day says finding biofuels which can be used in existing engines will be an important step in greening the industry. He notes that biofuels are the only fuel type in which plants absorb CO2 from the atmosphere, making them self-offsetting. Amartya is also a realist. Quote, "The solution does not solely lie in providing an alternative clean biofuel and showing the world that the concept works. Rather, the solution lies in evaluating its marketability and economic feasibility over the long run," unquote. Still ahead, Aspen's success gets the attention of a U.S. senator. Civil Air Patrol gives its vice commander another year. And when is an aileron called a flap? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wasp GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wasp GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 10th. I'm Paul Plack. There are plenty of ugly economic stories in any state that hosts aerospace businesses this year, and one of the ugliest happened in New Mexico. But the state's Democrat U.S. Senator, Tom Udall, paid a visit to aviation businesses in his state last week and says he's impressed. Udall met with more than 40 members of the New Mexico Aviation and Aerospace Association, which was launched in January 2009 to provide a unified industry voice for local aviation companies. The senator took questions from the association's members relating to critical issues. He also toured Aspen Avionics, which has seen explosive business growth over the past 2 years. He thanked his hosts for the tour and commented, quote, I'm proud to see their small business thriving right here in New Mexico, unquote. Brigadier General Reggie Chitwood of Van Buren, Arkansas, has been reelected to a second one-year term as National Vice Commander of Civil Air Patrol. The vote took place last week by the CAP National Board. His principal role is to help National Commander Major General Amy Corder lead CAP's 57,000 volunteers in fulfillment of the organization's three congressionally chartered missions: emergency services, cadet programs, and aerospace education, and an increasing role in homeland security. Corder is currently entering her second year of a three-year term as National Commander. And finally today, a group of engineering apprentices at BAE Systems is working on techniques to control an aircraft in flight without traditional control surfaces. The goal is to develop technology for building UAVs with lower acquisition and maintenance costs. A demonstrator has been built under a project called, now wait for the acronym, FLAVR, for Flapless Air Vehicle Integrated Industrial Research. $11 million in funding has been provided by BAE and the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council. 10 universities are involved in the building of the 176-pound jet-powered UAV, which has a wingspan of about 8 feet. I have to ask, just for clarification, did they call the ailerons flaps because it made a better acronym? Or are the Brits just maintaining their traditional lack of respect toward the French? Be careful now. If you make the French angry, they will taunt you.
I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
That's the latest from Aero News. I love that movie. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Darren Tillman, General Manager of Powerflow Systems, explains the science behind his company's new exhaust system for the Beechcraft Bonanza. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.